Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to a surprise episode of The Catholic Experience. I am your host, The Catholic Adventurer, and I thank you very much for joining me. Why am I calling this a surprise? Well, because it's a surprise even to myself that I'm doing this episode. So, let me try and break this down real quick for you. So, today I recorded it was intentionally a mini cast, a very short broadcast, 10, 15 minutes I intended to do on there. It wound up being about a half an hour long. It was a response to a news article on Catholic News Agency reporting on a priest who incorrectly, illicitly blessed a same-sex union, a same-sex couple, because he says fiducia supplicans allows it. This was supposed to be a 10, 15 minute minicast. It wound up being a whole episode. I did a short episode, but an episode about 30 minutes long. I didn't know where I was going to post that. Maybe just to locals, maybe to socials and locals, maybe to the podcast catalog here where you're listening to it. Now, it was so long, and I thought the content and substance was pretty good. I thought it would be an injustice to just post that to social media where all people want to do, it's not just Catholics, all people want to do on social media is scroll, depending on where you are. If you're on TikTok, you just want to watch 30 seconds of someone acting stupid. If you're on Instagram, you want 30 seconds of someone lip-syncing to 80s music. If you're on Twitter, you just want to read a couple of sentences and just keep scrolling. I can post an episode, and I've done it. I can post stuff that's 2 minutes long on Twitter. People will skip it after 2 seconds. Surely no one, very, very few people on any social media will sit and listen to this. And I have very few members on my locals community. So between social network or between social media and locals, I just felt I wouldn't get a lot of people listening to this. It's not about the numbers. It's not about fame, fortune, popularity. It's about making something available to as many people as possible who may benefit from it. So here I am putting it in my podcast catalog. Before I get into it, I thought, let me just say a few words to my audience there. I want to thank you for listening to my little show here. As you know, I'm sort of semi-retired from this. For those of you who don't know, I've been out of work for a while. We're working hard to find new work, and I can't devote as much time to podcasting as I used to. This was an attempt at a business model for me between the podcast itself and Fiat Media. If you want to know what Fiat Media is, go to fiat.media, and you can check that out. It's not taking off. It's not doing well. So I've decided to stop doing podcasting professionally, and I've degraded it to just a hobby. I haven't been posting. I used to post episodes every week. I haven't been doing that lately. I haven't been nearly as active on social media. I've been very, very barely active on social media. Most of the stuff I post is on my locals community, catholicexperience.locals.com. I want to encourage you again to please consider joining. You can become a free member, or for $5, you can become a paid member. But what have you been missing? You know, since I'm not posting since I'm not posting hardly at all to social media, and since I'm not posting an episode every week, what have you been missing in terms of, you know, my thoughts on things? I'll tell you this, as I read Catholic news and over the course of my observation of the Catholic faithful, you know what I'm kind of seeing, and I'm going to do an episode on this as I iron out these very wrinkled thoughts. I'm going to do an episode on this. It might be a little series on this. I'm seeing a resurgence of the Church of the Arian Heresy. I'm seeing a resurgence of the Church of the Arian Heresy. Here's what I mean by that. I don't mean Arianism is making a return. What I mean is that during the period of Arianism in the early church, let's say the first 4 or 5 centuries, I think, if my timing is correct, even though the church declared that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even though the church put forward a very clear and strong Trinitarian theology, there was still a civil war in the church of Catholics in the pews and in the chanceries and in the rectories, so to speak. There were still Catholics throughout the church, many, many of them, who said, nope, Jesus Christ is just an exalted creature. He's not God, which is unbelievable to me. Even though there was a council defining the Trinity, even though we had the Nicene Creed very clearly and unambiguously stating that Jesus Christ is of the same substance as the Father. The Son is of the same substance as the Father. There were still Catholics all over the church, entire dioceses even, still Catholics who asserted, nope, Jesus Christ is not God. Unbelievable to me. How do you get there? How do we get to a state where the church is clearly saying one thing and the faithful boldly objecting and saying, nope, it is not that, it is this? Even many priests and bishops, not just the faithful. How do we get there? Well, it's not just a flip of a switch, as I always say. It's not just the flip of a switch. We get there through a system of failures. Failure of attitude, failure of structure, failure of education, failure of humility. We get there by a culture of failure in scriptural exegesis or biblical exegesis. We get there through a system of failures. And the church is in a similar state today, I believe. We don't have the same civil war that the church went through during Arianism, but we are in a state of a soft civil war, a hidden civil war, which in our lifetime, it may not be so hidden and so soft, but right now it is. It's hidden and it's soft, but it's there. It's real. It's present. It's there. And it is as malignant as Arianism. Maybe not as violent yet, but it's as malignant as Arianism, or the Arian period, the period of the Arian heresy in the church. So I just touched on how we got there during the Arian heresy, systems of failures, and I enumerated a few. Well, how do we get there today? How do we get there today where the church is saying X and the people are saying, nope, it's X and a half. They might not even say it's Y. They might say it's X 0.5. Well, why is X 0.5 worse than Y? Because X 0.5 is still a lie, but it's a lie that looks very much like X. Whereas X and Y are clearly two different things. X 0.5 or X and a half very closely resembles X. It's a lie, a flat-out lie, that very closely resembles the real thing, the truth. How did we get there today where so many Catholics throughout the church are saying X 0.5 is the truth, X and a half is the truth? And how does that, how do we see that manifesting? How do we see that at the granular level? Well, we have people saying that church teaching is this. We have people saying the church teaching is that, something other than what the church teaches. We have people say, and by people, I mean the laity and some priests and bishops, but it's not just in the hierarchy, it's in the pews too. Church teaching is more than what the church says it is. Church teaching is actually less than what the church says it is. Church teaching is way to the right from what the church says it is. Church teaching is actually way to the left, more to the left of what the church says it is. We have that. We have a distortion and disfigurement of tradition and what tradition is and what tradition means and how tradition is lived and expressed in the faith experience. We have Spirit of Vatican II, Spirit of Vatican II, Spirit of Vatican II. We have heterodoxy masquerading as orthodoxy. We have, and I want to step lightly as I say this, but we have traditionalism masquerading as holiness. It's not all traditionalists. And folks, I'm real tired of having to say this. It is not all traditionalists. There, can we be friends now? It's not all traditionalists, but you are seeing it throughout traditionalism, right? Traditionalism masquerading as holiness. Heterodoxy masquerading as orthodoxy. Sometimes you see heresy masquerading as orthodoxy. So I see this really, man, I see it and I see it and I see it and I see it and I see it During my time in Catholic communications and Catholic apologetics, Catholic media ministry, I see it, and I'm seeing it a lot today. So I believe we're seeing a resurgence of things that the church lived through. Capital C Church, the institution, and lowercase c church, the people, the members of the mystical body. What the church lived through during the Arian heresy, I see a resurgence of those elements today. And it's a system of failures. It's not just one thing. It's a system of failures. So I'm going to do a series, at least an episode. It may benefit from a series, maybe three episodes, similar to what I did with the series of truth that I did. I did, I think, three or four episodes about truth. The first one was, what is truth? The others were, I think, truth and balance, and I don't remember the third. Anyway, speaking of series of shows, I'm in the middle of, I just began a short series on Aquinas' five ways, five proofs of God's existence. That's available. I did the first episode. I think I made that available to everybody everywhere. The subsequent episodes will be available only to paid members of my locals community, catholicexperience.locals.com. It's a short series. Each episode is going to be about 15 minutes to a half an hour long. I'm going to talk about each of Aquinas' five ways. And I also talk a little bit about how people reject each of those five ways, right? Counter arguments to each of the five ways and why those counter arguments don't hold water. I don't spend a lot of time on the counter arguments. I intend to just touch on them. I really spend each episode on just explaining philosophically and in real life terms each of Aquinas's five ways. The first episode, I talked about evidence and the different kinds of evidence. Then the next episode, which I just recently posted, I talked about the first of Aquinas' five ways, the argument from motion. Again, that's available to, that's a short series. It's going to be 5-6 episodes. That's available to paid members of my locals community, catholicexperience.locals.com. Please at least sign up to be a free member, because I do put stuff up there exclusively for locals community members, whether they're free or paid members. I do put stuff up there just for locals. Okay. So that is going on now. A short series on the state of the church today, a resurgence of what we saw during the Arian heresy in the church's history. I'm going to be doing, I don't know when I'm going to be doing those, because those really need some special treatment, care, and attention. I want to make those really, really tight and solid. But they'll be coming in the very near future. Okay, those will be available to everybody, even on my podcast catalog, because those are important. I don't want to make those reserved. Those are important. Okay? Q&A sessions, live chat sessions, the occasional video podcast, I'll be doing those on Locals. Some of it will be only for paid members. Some of it will be for everybody on Locals. So do consider that. CatholicExperience.locals.com. Okay, now on with the episode here. My comments and, I guess, teaching and preaching based on an article in Catholic News Agency about a priest who blessed a same-sex union. Union. And I hope you enjoy it. Please spread the word about this podcast. I know I don't post episodes as frequently as I used to, but I'm still here. I'm still alive. The heart is still beating. The fire is still burning. Maybe not as hot as it was, but the fire is still burning. Please pray for me and my family. I really appreciate it. God bless you. God be with you all. Now on with the episode proper. Here we go. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me, Catholic Adventurer. Here with you, just offer a little commentary on a news article I just read on Catholic News Agency. First, thank you again for joining me wherever you're catching this. You might be catching this in my podcast feed. You might be catching it on locals.com. You might be catching it on the socials. I really don't know where I'm posting this yet. If you don't know, you ought to know. I have a community on Locals, catholicexperience.locals.com. Again, that's Catholic Experience, not Catholic Adventurer. CatholicExperience.locals.com. Come and check me out. You can join for free. Or you can pay me $5 a month. Help me to feed my family. And for $5 a month, you get exclusive content and bonuses and stuff like that. You can get some stuff as a free member. You can get more stuff as a paid member. Okay, let's get on with it. So I have done episodes in the past discussing things like fiducia supplicans, which is the Vatican document, which, in my opinion, foolishly, but correctly, states that a priest is allowed to bless individuals in same-sex unions, or individuals in general, including same-sex unions. A priest is permitted to bless individuals in irregular relationships, people who are straight, divorced and remarried, and so on. But individuals, the priest is authorized to bless the individuals. Now, the reason I think that's a little silly is we've always been able to do that. That's not new. I don't know why we needed this document. I guess maybe to restate, to clarify, to reiterate. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not the church. So I've done shows in the past, treating of this document, contextualizing it, explaining it. And I've done episodes in the past that, I guess, touch on some of the substance surrounding things like fiducia supplicans. Okay, how should we approach these documents? How should we approach this thinking or these words? So I've done episodes that where I talked about the synod and as I said, fiducia supplicans, things like that. One of the critiques or one of my concerns about fiducia supplicans is that there were definitely going to be priests who misapply and misuse and abuse this document. They're going to do things that the church explicitly forbids, and they're going to say, the church says I can do this. We've seen this for generations with Vatican II, the so-called spirit of Vatican II. We've seen the occasional liturgical abuse. Oh, it's the spirit of Vatican II. We've seen the reduction of things that are very sacred and holy, reduced to communal affairs or community affairs and social hours. And we're told, oh, the spirit of Vatican II. Well, that's nonsense. Nonsense. So we've seen abuses in the church, not just mass abuses, which doesn't happen as often as people think, but at least not in my experience, but I'm just one person. So whatever your experience is, it is. But I don't want to make it sound like mass abuses are rampant throughout the church, you know, that they happen, you know, 7 out of 10 masses, you're going to find mass abuses. I'm not trying to say that. I don't believe that's true at all. But liturgical abuses do happen often. They happen because they're justified, according to the people who are doing them, they're justified by what they call the spirit of Vatican II, or Vatican II allows this. Meanwhile, Vatican II does not. It has always been my fear that we're going to see similar abuses of the substance and content of fiducia supplicans. Fiducia supplicans does not authorize priests to bless same-sex or illicit unions. Or I should say same-sex or irregular unions. Fiducia supplicans does not authorize that, period. It authorizes, or it reiterates, that priests may bless individuals in those unions. And then it goes on to explain that it cannot look like a marriage, it cannot seem like a marriage, it cannot be part of, you know, it cannot be in a liturgical setting, and so on. The document is very, very clear. Still, and I have to say, too, I remember when I read the document, I remember finding the language really very tight, tighter than the Vatican II documents are. But though the language is tight, it's pretty clear, pretty explicit throughout, I still said people are going to abuse it. And now, listen, I'm not a prophet. I think anyone with some sense and some experience in these things probably would have predicted there would be abuses of this document. Well, now we have one. From Catholic News Agency, Chicago priest blesses same-sex spouses and says fiducia supplicans allows it, written by Daniel Payne. A priest in Chicago last month blessed a same-sex couple, saying that the Vatican's recent document, Fiducia Supplicans, authorized such blessings. Father Joseph Williams, the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish near downtown Chicago, is seen in an April 22nd video shared on Instagram by Kelly Knight, a Methodist. So Kelly Knight is a Methodist minister and a self-identified queer community organizer. So she's the one who shot the video. In the video, Williams is seen in the parish with Kelly and Maya Knight. Quote, Maya always wanted to get married at the chapel of her alma mater. So I surprised her with the blessing of our marriage, Kelly wrote in the post. The parish is affiliated with the Catholic DePaul University in Chicago. So in the video, Williams is seen asking the couple this. You ready for this? Listen tight. Quote, Kelly and Maya, do you freely recommit yourselves to love each other as holy spouses and to live in peace and harmony together forever? End quote. And the two women respond, I do. Now, the blessing of individuals in same-sex unions must not in any way resemble or appear to resemble a marriage, period. The document is very clear on that. It cannot resemble or appear to, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, these are my words. It cannot resemble or appear to resemble a marriage ceremony. Let's go back to what was said. Kelly and Maya, do you freely recommit yourselves to love each other as holy spouses and to live in peace and harmony together forever? I'm just waiting for someone to come out and say, where is the holy hand grenade? If you know, you know. So this sounds like a marriage to me. And then the two women respond, I do. Doesn't it appear like it appears a marriage to you? It appears as one to me. And I wanted to point out, you know, to love each other as holy spouses. Really? We're going there? We're calling them spouses? And we're calling them holy? I mean, it's been quite a while since my wedding, but I don't recall my wife and I being referred to as holy. I think maybe the term holy matrimony might have been in there. I don't remember, but if it is, it was referring to the union, not to the individuals. But we're calling them spouses and we're calling them holy? Wow, what an upgrade. And then to live in peace and harmony together forever. Say I do. I just added that last part. So to live in peace and harmony together forever. what kind of 70s hippie jargon is this? Imagine me and you and me, living in peace and harmony together forever as holy spouses, so happy together. What the hell is this? To live in peace and harmony together forever? Come on, man. Quote, loving God, this quote is now the prayer that followed the I do's. Loving God, increase and consecrate the love which Kelly and Maya have for one another. The pastor then says, the rings that they have exchanged are the sign of their fidelity and commitment. May they continue to prosper in your grace and blessing, he added. May God's blessing be yours, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, even that last part is a weird formulation or a weird formula for bestowing a blessing. May God's blessing be yours, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't even think that's a licit blessing. I don't know. I'm not talking above my pay grade here, but I don't even think that's a licit blessing. But I could be wrong. Maybe as long as the Trinity is invoked, it's a valid blessing. I don't know. But anyway, so does this seem like a marriage to you? It seems like a secular wedding to me. It seems like a secular wedding ceremony. Loving God, increase and consecrate the love which Kelly and Maya have for one another. Now, let me play devil's advocate here. For lack of a better way of characterizing this, I am not a love equals love person. Those of you who know my work already know this about me. But I do want to, I just want to give a little bit of color to this. Love equals love is a lie. However, love is, it's a thing. Sometimes it's disordered. Sometimes it's wrongly ordered. Sometimes it's confused. Often it's confusing, but love is. The love that two people have for each other, whether they are parent and child, husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, brother and sister, brother and brother, friend and neighbor, and Kelly and Maya, these two people who were fake married in Chicago. Love is real. The bond is real. The connection is real. Even if it's real dangerous, which it often can be. It can often be real dangerous. Listen, especially if you're a fella, I think this happens more to guys than it does to gals. Sometimes you can be madly in love with someone who's wrong for you, but you just don't see it. Or you're madly in love with someone. It might not be actually in love, but it's a love that you have for someone who does not want you, which is really rough, right? That's really hard to handle. Love in that case is real, but it's also real dangerous. The love that some people have for others can sometimes be disordered or wrongly ordered and dangerous. I often say this to people I teach, or sometimes at a talk, I might say this if it comes up. I usually don't introduce it out of nowhere, but if it comes up, I'll say, if Harry and Sally love each other, and I think I've made this example in past episodes too. Folks, if you're not listening to my podcast, you're missing out on a lot of wisdom. I mean, an awful lot of wisdom and informed experience. You really should be listening to my podcast on the regular. Catholic Experience, everywhere you find podcasts. Anyway, so if Harry loves Sally, is that good? Everyone will agree, yes. Well, what if Harry and Sally are brother and sister? Oh, it's not good then? Okay. The love might be real, and it might also be real dangerous because it might be real disordered or wrongly ordered. What if Harry and Sally are not brother and sister? Well, then it's okay. All right. What if Harry is 50 and Sally is 12? Ah, problem. You get where I'm going with this. And I'm not just talking about raw, straight-up lust, though that is a thing, too. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about a measure of deep and strong affection that sometimes one person has for another. Forget about the fact that Harry and Sally might be brother and sister. Forget that one's 50 and one's 12. Harry and Sally could be total strangers who met on the street or met at a cafe or whatever. And sometimes one can develop over time, usually over experiences, one can develop a deep affection for the other. Well, that love is real, that deep affection is real, but it may still be wrongly ordered. It may still be imprudent. It may still be real dangerous. Could be real beautiful. It just depends on the situation and on the individuals. So what I'm trying to drive home here is basically this. I don't want to dehumanize Kelly and Maya. I do not want to dehumanize Kelly and Maya. I don't want to appear to be painting a picture of, you know, two perverts and a heretical priest walk into a bar and the heretical priest says, "Do you agree to live in peace and harmony together forever?" I don't want to paint that picture because these are real people, right? In a real lived situation that is real dangerous, but they're real people. They're real people made in the image and likeness of God. When Jesus said, you know, "This is my body given up for you," he was talking to Kelly. "This is my blood poured out for your sins," he was talking to Maya. Think of it this way. He was talking only to Kelly, or he was talking only to Maya. Can you imagine? So I don't want to cheapen and dehumanize these two people. Love is real, even if it's disordered, wrongly ordered, dangerous. We have to step carefully because in defending marriage and defending love and what love is, we don't want to hack at it with an axe. If love is real, if a particular love is real, even though it's wrongly ordered, there's still something real about it. So when we treat it, we have to treat it with delicacy and care and tenderness. If we want to take this manifestation of love, whether it's between Kelly and Maya or anyone else, if we want to treat of it, if we want to bring it, nudge it to where God thinks or God knows it ought to be. Well, we're treating something that is real, even if it's wrongly ordered, so we have to treat it with care and tenderness. Care and tenderness. I had an uncle who was gay. He died in the 90s of AIDS. And he and his, I don't know what you would call that, partner, they were together for, man, I don't know, but it was a long time. I want to say 20 years. For some reason, I have 20 years in my head. Maybe it was 20 years, but they were together for a long time. The love they had for each other was real, even if it was wrongly ordered and real dangerous. Well, how real dangerous was it? Well, one contracted HIV and passed it to the, in, you know, an extra, it's not extramarital. What would you call that? One had had an affair or an encounter with somebody else outside of the relationship and brought HIV into the relationship and gave it to the other. That's how real dangerous this love is. Now, that can happen between straight people, too. Sure. But you get what I'm saying. But the love they had for each other was real. It was wrongly ordered. You might say it was defective, because sometimes we can have a love that is defective, even though it's real. Do you see what I'm saying? Love is real, and even when it requires some kind of treatment or correction, whatever, we have to do it delicately. If someone had told my uncle and his whatever partner, your love is flawed, your love is faulty, your love is evil, you'll burn in hell. Well, where do you think you're going to get with that? You think you're going to get anywhere good with that? You're not going to get anywhere good with that. If you say instead, I understand you love each other, and love comes from God, it's intrinsically a good thing, but it can lead to bad things. It can be misunderstood for something that it isn't. Period. Drop the mic, walk away. But you haven't finished the point. No, I haven't. Because sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have to get people to where they need to be in steps, in degrees, over gradients. You understand? But you see how that's a very different treatment of love, a disordered or wrongly ordered love between two human persons. That's a different treatment of it than your love is an abomination and you're going to burn in hell for it. You see how that's a very different treatment? When we're talking about love, we have to remember that we're talking about a real thing, even when it's wrongly ordered, even if it's disordered, disfigured, whatever you want to call it. And it happens between gay people and it happens between straight people. So I'm not singling anybody out. That having been said, the love Kelly and Maya have for each other is real, even if it's really wrongly ordered, even if it's really dangerous. But we want to be careful and considerate. In situations like these, when we are addressing the love person A has for person B, I don't mean strictly Kelly and Maya, but in your experience, when you are encountering similar situations, whether it's between a gay couple or whether it's between gay people in a relationship or straight people in a relationship, always remember to handle and treat these situations with great tenderness and care. Be truthful. But be strategic and be tender, because you're working with something that is very delicate, the love between persons, which even if it's wrongly ordered, is still based on a real thing. So you have to treat it with great tenderness and care. Okay, my next trouble with this is in this article, we find a very clear example of an abuse of what is stated. It's an abuse of Catholicism. It's an abuse of I guess you could say it's an abuse of divine revelation, because that's really where blessings get their power, authority, efficacy from. It's really, at the end of the day, from divine revelation. What we find in scripture, the revelation of God, the teaching of the church, and so on. It's really divine revelation. It is an abuse of fiducia supplicans, because he's referencing it. Fiducia supplicans allows this. So it is an abuse of that. But what we find in fiducia supplicans is not novel. What we find there is just a reiteration of what the church has always taught. It's nothing new in there. So it's really an abuse of Catholicism, what we're seeing there. But in I guess an indirect sort of way, we can call it an abuse of Fiducia Supplicans. And boy, did I know that one was coming. I've been saying it and saying it. You watch, you wait and see. People are going to bless, I'll say, irregular unions, because I think they will largely be gay unions, but they will also be straight unions. There will be priests, possibly deacons, who will bless illicit unions or irregular unions and say Fiducia Supplicans allows this, and they will be wrong. My final concern, so this happened, this was discovered in a video that was posted on, I guess, April 22nd. The only reason we know about it is because there was a video recorded on April 22nd and posted to social media. You have to wonder, how frequently, how often is this sort of thing going on that we never hear about? I can guarantee you it was probably going on long before Fiducia Supplicans, except now Fiducia has given, I guess, priests and deacons a sort of cover for doing it under, I guess, it gives them a cover in that it allows them to do it and to say the church allows it. Okay, it gives them sort of the cover to be deceitful. So you can believe this was going on already. And you can also believe this isn't the first time that a priest did this and said, Fiducia allows it, the church allows it. It's not the first time that's happened. I'm sure this has happened many, many times since the publication of Fiducia. The question then is, does Fiducia enable widespread abuses of blessings? It was likely happening before, but does Fiducia enable it to happen a lot, frequently, rampantly? I would suspect that answer is yes. I don't know for sure, but I would suspect that answer is yes. I just want to get one last piece of the article in there. He reportedly told Knight, I guess this is the priest, told Knight when she first inquired about the blessing, he said, quote, please understand that this is not in any way a marriage, a wedding, anything like that. This is just simply a blessing of persons. Well, okay, that is allowed. Exactly what is said there is allowed. It's not a wedding. It's not a marriage. It's nothing like that. It's just simply a blessing of persons. Well, that's allowed, except what you did is not that. As far as I'm concerned, in my interpretation of it, you didn't just bless persons there. You blessed the unions. You referred to them as spouses, for Pete's sake. I think he even referenced the union. Let me see here. I mean, let's go back to the blessing. Loving God, increase and consecrate the love which Kelly have for one another. I just spotted something else. Increase and consecrate the love. Now, I really don't want to get back into the weeds of Fiducia. I've done this at least in one episode, but I think two episodes of the podcast. I really don't want to get back into the weeds. But blessing persons who are in the union is intended to orient them to the will of God, just to put it very simply. We want to orient them and their love to the will of God. You are seeing that a little bit in these words, loving God, increase and consecrate the love which Kelly and Maya have for one another. You're doing that a little bit, but you're really not. Because you're asking them, God, to increase the love they have for one another. I kind of get the consecrate the love that they have. I kind of get that, but you're not consecrating a love that is wrongly ordered. You can't. You literally cannot. You cannot ask God to consecrate or to make holy a love which is wrongly ordered, the love which they have for one another. Because you're not asking God to correct it or to rightly order it. You're asking him to increase it as it is. That's how I see that. You're asking God to increase it as it is. So it's a statement that works against itself. It's a request that does. It is a request that does not make sense. And God cannot do anything that does not make sense. And then the priest goes on to say, the rings that they have exchanged are the sign of their fidelity and commitment. How do we see a statement like that and say, he's not blessing the union? He's blessing the persons, not the union. This is not a marriage or a wedding or anything like that. It's just a blessing of the persons. The rings that they have exchanged are a sign of their fidelity and commitment. Oh, you're right. He's not blessing the union. Come on, man. Let's stop being ridiculous. So the lesson to take from this is that love is a real thing, and it's a powerful thing, and it can be real dangerous, and it can get us into trouble. And it can be real beautiful and bring us all the way to heaven. And the road between here and there is sometimes inelegant. We falter. We fall, we rise again, we do better, we fall again. You know, the road between here and heaven that's paved by love is often inelegant. And sometimes it's dangerous and we risk it not leading us to heaven at all. Might lead us to a really, really, really long stay in purgatory. It might lead us to hell. Because sometimes things that are wrong masquerade as love. They masquerade as something good. But when we're treating of these things, when we're addressing persons, even talking about persons, I don't mean in a gossipy sort of way. I mean in a way that's not sinful or wrong. When we're treating of these things, just be mindful. You're dealing with something very delicate and something very dear and very beautiful that comes from the nature of God himself. Even when it's wrongly ordered, you've got to step lightly. You've got to be delicate, be considerate, be faithful to the truth, but also be faithful to the good. When something ceases to be good, it ceases to be the truth. Your love for each other is going to send you straight to hell. Well, even if we stretch and say that is theologically accurate, which it's there's so many theological nuances that can be applied there. It's not exactly a home run, but let's just say that's completely theologically accurate. Let's just say knowledge of the good has nothing to do with it. Culpability has nothing to do with it. Circumstances have nothing to do with it. Let's just say all that is out, and that statement on its own is theologically sound. Your love for each other is going to lead you straight to hell. Well, it might, but let's just say it definitely will. To the extent that that statement does harm to the hearts and dignity of persons, it ceases to be a good. Because now what you have is one good, the truth, coming into intentional conflict with another good, human dignity. The person's emotions, because let's say if it's a person who can handle that kind of bluntness, well, then you're good, then you're fine, if you know that they're a person who can handle that kind of bluntness. But most people can't. So if you're breaking hearts with the truth, you have one good coming into conflict with another good. They neutralize each other, and when the truth ceases to be the good, because it's in conflict with another good, when the truth ceases to be the good, it ceases to be the truth. I only told him the truth. You might have told him something factual, but you didn't give him the truth. Because the way that you gave it to them neutralized that truth because it ceased to be a good. If this sounds like gibberish to you, go back to my podcast catalog and look for an episode called What is Truth? I talk about the true and the good and their relationships and yada, yada, yada. And if you have any questions, you can always hit me up on Locals, catholicexperience.locals.com. Super available on Locals to field your questions. catholicexperience.locals.com. I may not get to it immediately, but I'll get to it really, really soon after you send it. Treat people with care and tenderness, especially when we're dealing with things that are addressing love. Because love is a real thing, even if it's wrongly ordered, even if it's real dangerous, love is a real thing. You understand? If we want to elevate love, if we want to treat love, correct love, we have to very carefully and delicately separate the good of it from what's wrong in it. Separate the good of it from what's wrong in it. That's like unraveling a plate of spaghetti. You have to be very delicate. Very careful, very tender. That's going to do it for this little broadcast. Just wanted to share those thoughts. Boy, I thought this was going to be like a 10-minute thing. Looks like the recording is almost, it's just about a half an hour long. Sorry about that. But I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you learned something. This is The Catholic Adventurer. Follow me on X @ForTheQueenBVM. Sign up for my Locals. It's $5 if you want to be a paid member. It's $5. That's less than it costs you to drink a cup of coffee. Come on. It's $5 a month. But you can also become a free member. I do put stuff up there for free members. And you get a lot of, you get extra content as a paid member. CatholicExperience.locals.com. CatholicExperience.locals.com. God bless you. God be with you all. See ya.